This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
3-1, hit deep to left. It is gone, and it's a significant homer. It is number 300 on the season for the Atlanta Braves. He's got two ducks on the pond here, and he laces it the other way. Ozzie's coming home. 6-2. This ball is hit well to left. Cap goes back. It's over his head. Austin is home, and it's 6-3. And Assad with a 1-2 pitch. And Ronald lifts in the air to right field. It's still going. And it's gone! A two-run homer for Acuna. And the Braves are in it, down by a run. Murphy, shallow right center. But it hangs up in the air.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Kevin, we've got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride on this Waddle Wednesday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching our show on Twitch and also on YouTube, youtube.com. Hit that subscribe button. Look for ESPN Chicago. That way you miss nothing from ESPN Chicago and Cap. It happened last night in Atlanta, Georgia. Wild card on the line. You're trying to be able to establish yourself as a playoff team, and the Cubs, as we were together last night, comfortably watching the Cubs be up 6-0 and looking good, and all of a sudden the Braves come back and they storm back and the Braves win 7-6. Are you serious about trying to get to the playoffs or not? Last night sounds like you're not serious about getting to the playoffs.
Johnny, I was locked in on the game. You and I were at a great event with the station. Made sure I had my iPhone charged up. Jumped in the Uber, ready to go. And we had the game on.
Yep.
Cubs are up 6-0. Now, I know everyone's going to point at the horrific misplay by Seiya Suzuki, who had a two-run triple and another hit in the game. He's been your best offensive player the last 60 days. Been outstanding. And a fly ball to the right, going to end the eighth. And he Brant Browned it. It was actually worse because he didn't even get a glove on it. He just missed it.
7-5 Cubs, bottom of the ninth. Two down. The Brewers have the bases loaded and a 2-2 count on the hitter. Here's the pitch. Swung on, fly ball, left field. Brant Brown going back. Brant Brown drops the ball. He drops the ball. Three runs will score. And the Brewers have beaten the Cubs.
It was like that. Except few differences. The Brant Brown play was with the bases loaded and it would have ended the game.
Yes.
This was the eighth inning last night. And Suzuki completely botched it. Drew Smyly is not good.
Yeah.
He's no bleep. Not. No bleep. I know the bullpen's on fumes.
Yeah.
Alzolay's on the injured list, which means Merriweather has to close, which is not his best role. Leiter Jr., I don't know where he is. He hasn't been able to pitch. Who else went just back on the injured list? Boxberger's there for a day.
Yeah.
I'm hurt again. Out. That said, again, I know everyone's going to point to Seiya. I got a few things. One, David Ross, take the bunt out of your arsenal and stop bunting, please. We're bunting to get Yan Gomes into scoring position. I run as fast as he does.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good player.
Yep.
What are we doing there? A. B. Can Can we stop making stupid base running mistakes? Pete Crow Armstrong. I know everyone's thrilled that this young kid's here. He's fast. He's a good defender. Can we stop getting caught off a third? In a one-run game, it turned out, that run would have really been helpful. Two. Three, everyone's like, well, PCA should have been in the outfield. Cody Bellinger is a gold glove defender. Whether that's at first, he's really good in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Bellinger and Seiya Suzuki have got to make that play. Seiya calls off Cody. Okay, you got, and he misses it. That happens. It's humans. The game is played by humans. When you're up 6-0, you cannot not add on, not be able to shut them down. And I know the pitch that Assad threw to Acuna Jr., it wasn't a horrible pitch. There's two strikes on the hitter. You cannot throw something where he can get the head of the bat out. And I know that wasn't Bob Acuna or Phil Acuna. That was Ronald Acuna Jr. He's really good. He's going to win the MVP. You can't throw that pitch in that spot where he can get the head of the bat out of it and drive it out of here. Can't happen. All of that stuff. I know everyone's going to look back at the Suzuki play. Drew Smyly can't throw strikes, so he immediately, with the walks, we got to put guys on base.
Wild.
Wild. Mm-hmm. Then he's bouncing balls in.
Yep.
All over the place. Mm-hmm. All that stuff stressed your defense to the point it broke.
Well, I'll go back to the question I asked you initially to start the show. Are you serious about the playoffs or not? See, all of those things can be true. Everything that you laid out is why the Cubs relinquished a 6-run lead. It's the Braves. The Braves are better than the Cubs, clearly. Up and down the lineup, they have dangerous guys. Up and down the pitching rotation, they have dangerous players. The Braves are better than the Cubs, correct?
Oh, yeah, they're a 101-win team now. Yeah,
but the point is, though, is that when you have your foot on the throats of the Atlanta Braves, you have to continue on to play solid baseball.
Correct.
The idea that, and again, with Drew Smyly out there, we've talked about it all season. You called it way earlier than everybody else. You probably should have stopped starting a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You put him in the bullpen, it's the same thing. So it's the same pitcher. Whether it's short or whether it's long form, he's not very good. He's at the end of his career. He's wheezing at the end of his career right now as a pitcher in the big leagues. But on top of that, we cannot turn a blind eye to Suzuki. Because here's the thing. Here's what we know. Smiley's not very good for this Cubs team. But Seiya is shorthanded, and he bungled it and jagged that catch in a crucial spot. Yeah, it happens, but it shouldn't happen to the Cubs, and it shouldn't happen when you've already had a 6-run lead. Yeah, it happens, Cap, but the one thing that you can rely on usually is the defense of Suzuki. We've already seen some spectacular catches from him, and in a big spot, he choked, and the Cubs choked as well. It's everything. When you are up 6-0 and you lose 7-6, look, it's the Braves, but also if the Cubs have any gumption, any guts, they would have been able to win that ball game yesterday, and they did not. That's not good enough if you are a so-called playoff team.
I don't disagree with everything you're saying. We laid out a number of problems.
And you mentioned Pete Crow Armstrong. Kid, big spot. He's never played in this high level of baseball before.
Right.
And you're right, his base running is inexcusable. That is correct. But again, this is what you've piecemealed together to try to be a playoff team this year, in which I thought maybe you're a year early. But you should not collapse down the stretch here. We saw it coming down the pike, didn't we? We circled the schedule, you and I, said, oh, but that Braves and Brewers series, that should be interesting. That should be a gut check for the Cubs to determine whether or not you're a playoff team or not, correct?
Correct. You had every chance to win last night. It's 6-0. We're having fun. Hey, Hoodie, look at that. Hoodie's showing me videos of old Braves games back in the day.
Yeah.
And we're laughing, having a great time with the rest of the staff, with all our teammates. It was awesome. Pew bourbon, thank you. And I get home. My wife's busily working. And I got the game on, ready to do the recap. And the wheels come off. The wheels come off.
That can't happen.
And again, I know everyone's going to magnify what Suzuki did. He's a human being, and it happens. He's been great the last 60-some days. He's top 4 hitters in baseball. That's a big sample size. He's a really good player. That happens. It shouldn't. It does.
It's not good enough, though, Cap. of all the things that you mentioned, the one thing you should rely on is his defense. Now, you got. I'm not going to let you do that this morning. Like, he's human. Well, they're all human. We're talking about humans playing sports. But all the things you talked about, like PCA, right, with the base running. Well, he's a kid. He's going to make mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about Drew Smyly. We know he sucks. He does. You'd rather have something better from the left side than Smyly all season long. But the one thing out of all the things we talked about from last night's game, you expected Suzuki or Bellinger to get that ball in a crucial spot.
No question. But Dansby Swanson, another 0-for-4 night. I mean, you have opportunities. You have men on base. You don't add on. And you could sit there when it's 6-0. Ah, Laffer, Cubby's going to win tonight. Guess what?
That's my thought.
All of a sudden, you don't add on, and you realize it can turn that quickly.
Now, here's the thing. You know that for every game, and you expect the main pieces of the Cubs to come through, especially now, late September, trying to get into October and try to get into the playoffs. You expect your main cast to be able to get through.
Bellinger had 3 hits.
But you'll take that. But also in the bottom of your lineup, you got production from Mastroboni and Gomes and Morel 1-for-4. So you get power 7, 8, 9 in the lineup. Even when Swanson did not play well, he had a run scored. He walked once, but 0-for-4. But Suzuki, the same thing. Bad defensively, but came through offensively.
Correct.
But again, you're up 6-0. That collapse can't happen.
Right. Give Mastroboni his props. 11 for his last 19. That's amazing.
That's
outstanding.
Something.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Give him all the credit in the world. But in the end, loss city. And that's a problem.
Thoughts from David Ross last night.
You know, got to get some guys out. You know, say have been carrying us, I mean, for over a month and a half. Offensively, like, he's put us on our back. A lot of guys have been scuffling. He's been the guy swinging the bat the best. So we're not going to highlight one mistake. You know, we've got to, there's other areas we could have scored more runs. You guys in third, less than 2 outs. There's a lot of, we could have made some pitches earlier in the game, but we didn't. Got to pick our heads up, go back out tomorrow. Steely threw pretty good. Like, he ran out of gas a little bit there towards the end. Quas comes in, gets us out of the jam. You know, only gives up one and able to clean that up a little bit. You know, Acuna, best player in baseball right now, goes oppo, and we still have a chance to win that game. Drew threw pretty good, had a chance to get out of that and turned over to Merriweather tonight, but wasn't able to get there. So we'll be back at it tomorrow.
Drew did not pitch pretty good. I don't know why he said that. That's not true.
Correct. That is an untrue statement. Next question would have been, and when Jesse joins us, I'm going to ask, did anyone have the temerity in the press corps to go, David, can I ask you a question? Why do you bunt so much? Yeah. I mean, seriously, why do you bunt so much? In the end, everyone's going to look and go, oh, Suzuki catches it, we win. No, that's not a guarantee. That was the eighth inning. Telling me there's no chance Merriweather gives it up to the Braves in the ninth? Absolutely, there's a chance.
Yes.
So that's the difference between Rod Sano screaming about Brant Brown and this one happening last night. They both happened in the season's final week. They both ended up costing you a ballgame, but the Brown one was far more egregious to me.
Someone that didn't watch the game or listen to the game, you say, hey, the Braves played the Cubs yesterday, and the Braves were 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They had their starter Elder out there who only lasted 3 2/3.
He was terrible.
And surrendered 5 runs. They brought in Big Stevens in there. He tried to hold it down, surrendered a run. You'd say, oh, the Cubs won, right? 2-for-10 with runners. No. The one thing about the Braves, since Bobby Cox was managing the ball club, is the one hallmark for that team is they've always had solid starting pitching.
Yep.
Up and down for years, for decades, starting pitching. Here's an opportunity for the Cubs to take on Elder and bludgeon him like they did to come through, and they still relinquish the lead and lose the ball game. Are you serious or not, Cub fans? Are you serious or not about the Cubs getting in the playoffs? The reason why this is a topic and why we're leading this morning this way is because the Cubs are our only hope in Chicago. That's why. This is all we got. No Sky, no Sox, no Bulls, no Blackhawks, Bears 0-3. This is our only hope as Chicago sports fans for a team to get into the postseason.
Correct.
This is it.
It is unbelievable to lose that way. Now you got to wake up today, get a cup of coffee, and find a way to win a damn baseball game. You just have to.
So, Kevin, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Are the Cubs done after last night's brutal loss to the Braves? Do they still have a chance? Now, for those just waking up this morning, Cap, so what are the standings now? Cubs are a game behind in the second wild card?
Cubs are a game behind the second wild card because Arizona scored 15 unanswered against the White Sox. And the... Reds won last night, picked up a game. They're 1.5 behind the Cubs, and the Marlins are 0.5 game behind the Cubs. They were washed out. They have a doubleheader with the Mets today.
Sorry we couldn't help you.
You guys are just horrible.
Dead-ass ball club. What do you expect from us?
My God.
We can't help you.
3-0 home run, 3-run home run from Aloy.
Yeah.
3-0. I'm like, hey, honey, how about that? Cubs are winning 4-0 at this point. You guys are up at 4-0 or 4-1. We blink. It's 9-4. It was 7, then it's 9. We're like, what?
Can't help you. Make me feel better.
I'm sorry, Joan. I can't.
Can't help you, Joan.
Are the Cubs done after last night's brutal loss to the Braves? 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10. Here we go.
Checkmate 1-6, suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot on this Waddle Wednesday, and it's brought to you by...
That would be Club Hawthorne betting bars with craft beer, great food, horse racing you can bet on, and you can bet sports through their partnership with PointsBet. We say good morning to Kevin Zipak.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
We're good, man.
Beautiful day. Well, it's actually kind of crummy outside, but I digress. Cubs blew it last night. There's no other way to put it. Gave back a 6-run lead to the Atlanta Braves.
Fine, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Culminating with Seiya Suzuki's Brant Brown moment in the eighth inning. David Ross has been criticized for his game management once again after this L. Some interesting substitutions and decisions were made. Shot or no shot, last night's game falls on the head of David Ross.
God, it's on everybody. That's a no shot. I just think I agree with my partner when he talks about the bunting. Like, your team should be able to be good enough to swing away in some spots. You're not fooling anybody. It's the Braves on the other side. There's so many things that happen in that ball game. Ultimately, it falls to the feet of the manager, but ultimately, it also is on these veteran players that did not come through. That was a problem yesterday. So I would say no shot to that.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot because it falls on everybody. 6-0. You don't add on. You have multiple opportunities. PCA gets caught off a third. You're bunting. That falls at the feet of David Ross. Bullpen doesn't get the job done for whatever reasons. And Seiya makes a crucial error. So all of it is true.
That pitching, boy, brother.
They're on fumes, man.
So it should be obvious to everybody, especially if you're a Cub fan, what do you need to target in the offseason? I'm not trying to turn the page on the Cubs, but it's glaring that you need to be able to find a real closer if you don't think that Alzolay is the guy. You got to be able to get your 7th, 8th, and 9th guys ready. You got to be able to add a little bit more pop. You got to look at starting pitching. So just like this past season, you got to spend some more money if you want to solidify yourself in the playoffs.
And I think they're prepared to do just that.
I mean, it's clear, though. This is why... As I told you, you might be a year early. I didn't think this team was a playoff team when I told you that in March, mm-hmm. but they found a way, right, to continue to chip away and prove me and a lot of people wrong. Now, Cap, to solidify yourself, got to be able to spend more money.
Agreed.
Got to.
And I believe that they will.
Where are you guys with Rossi? Because I'm on Twitter, and I see a lot of fans, a lot of journalists, want to be journalists. A lot of folks are upset with the way he's managed this team so far this season, not just last night, not just with the bunting, which I know can get very frustrating, but I think a lot of fans feel like he might be holding this group back. Where are you with David Ross?
Look, David Ross is a good guy. He has kept the locker room in a good spot. I don't think he's an elite manager. I just don't. Again, they're ahead of where Hoodie had him. You had him at what, 78 wins?
Yes, I did.
I have Yurko's $100 in my pocket because he was at 78 wins. I said they'd go 82 and 80. They're 82-75 right now.
Yes, they are.
So I collected from Johnny last night. Thank you, good kid, for paying so quickly. Good, quick pay makes good friends. And they can be better in the dugout. They can. That's a fact.
There is no doubt. But here's what I've found out, Cap. Okay, so a couple of years without the playoffs, I kept asking the question, what does David Ross do? Without just completely just hammering him, I said, what does he do?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to me, a manager sets the culture. Those that say the managers don't do anything, they just show up and the lineup is given to them and they just sit there for nine innings. Now, you got to be able to create a culture. You don't have to be a push-button manager on all things because analytics plays such a big role in baseball today. But you have to set a culture, and the culture, I think, has been set. This season told me more than we've seen the previous two seasons in that at the trade deadline, Jed could have been like, all right, get these guys out of here. We got to be able to reset this thing. And I think that Ross and the players were able to supersede what Jed had in mind to be able to get rid of some of these players. So I think that he is, if, at worst, a B2C manager.
Yeah.
Is that fair? B2C, A to B is Pedro. That's what that is. Barely A to B manager. Or Rick Renteria is probably a better example. A to B manager.
Right. Pedro Eberflus is an A manager.
Yeah, just starts with A. No, not to the next level.
Right.
Just A.
Right.
And I think I could say that Ross is a B2C manager.
Now, if you tell me Craig Counsell's rolling in,
oh well,
that's a championship manager.
The Sox were smart. You stand in line for Counsell services.
Correct. I don't know if they could get him, but certainly you take a swing.
You think Craig Counsell's coming to the South Side? Do you think he's accepting that job? He's going to be coveted all over the league, and he's going to go inherit that?
But you have to ask, Kevin. You still have to ask. If you're the White Sox, beggars can't be choosers. You have to be able to at least get into the team photo.
Like, if he truly hits free agency and the bidding is, I don't know, $5 million a year, $6 million a year, you have to make an offer if you're the White Sox. I believe if you're the Cubs, you got to do the same thing.
Yeah, as much as I would like that, you still have to ask. As a Sox fan, that's the least you could do. It's like, you got to upgrade the manager. Try to go to the top shelf. Find out what his interests are.
Agreed.
Who he be with. Here's
great.
Speaking of very popular coaches in this town, Matt Eberflus now 3-14, of course, as the head coach of the Bears. That's good for a 176 winning percentage. For comparison, you got John Fox, 291. Tressman was 406. Our guy Wani, 417. Of course, Matt Nagy was over 500 during his tenure as Bears manager. So shot or no shot, you take Matt Nagy back today as the head coach of the beloved Bears.
Yeah, that's a no shot.
No.
Good person. Really good guy. No, absolutely not. But I wouldn't take this Pedro Eberflus either.
Yeah, that's a no shot. Could you imagine? And by the way, the reason why that's no is because, Kevin, we've got empirical evidence what that looks like with Nagy trying to coach Justin Fields. How's that look?
Didn't look great, no.
It did not work. So, no, I do not want Matt Nagy back.
No.
I don't want any of our previous coaches back. I said I'd bring Wani in as the DC with the hope if I needed an interim, he could be a competent facsimile there until I hired someone else.
Lovey.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, it was Lovey. Mm-hmm. I absolutely would go get Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh? Are you kidding? But no, I don't pine for the days of Matt Nagy. The guy that's in the job now, he's in over his head. He can't do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
But he'll join us Monday.
That's always the way, isn't it? Just being honest.
Damn! This is not a personal thing.
No, just being, it's business.
And it was never personal with Matt Nagy. That's my favorite team. You're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you've lost, 13 in a row? Yeah, 13 in a row.
Yeah.
You lose this one, I don't know where you're getting a win. You're beating Kirk Cousins? I don't know about that. You're going to Washington? You're beating that defense? I don't know about that.
Yeah, Kevin?
You're going to San Diego or L.A.? You're playing the Chargers and Justin Herbert? Yeah, I don't think so. So all of a sudden now, whoa, where are you getting a win?
Yeah, Kevin went through the schedule with us in the meeting. He's like, I can't find – you don't beat Denver. I'm not sure where the win's coming. And again, it's the NFL. Anything could happen.
Right.
But what I can say, there's a few things that are concrete, and that is the Bears really struggling.
It's bad.
Really struggling.
It is
throughout
really
the
bad.
Season.
Really bad.
All right, Kev.
All right, this is a story that flew under the radar a little bit. Hasn't been covered much. Not sure if you guys heard, but Taylor Swift was apparently at the Chiefs game on Sunday.
She was?
Yeah, I know. It has not been covered by the mainstream media. They're trying to suppress this story. In one photo, she was seen eating chicken tenders with a side of ketchup and what appeared to be ranch. Arrowhead has since announced a new menu item, chicken tenders Taylor's version, served with ketchup and ranch. Shot or no shot, you are eating Taylor's version of chicken tenders with ketchup and ranch.
That's a no shot.
I'm not a chicken tenders guy. It's all breaded. I don't eat that. But if I was eating, like, you know, chicken strips that don't have the breading on them, I have no problem with some ketchup and ranch.
As two Americas there.
What does that mean?
Well, there's no way. There's no one that I know that eats chicken tenders that way. It's either one or the other. It's not both. That's disgusting.
Oh, stop. It's not disgusting.
Ketchup and ranch? Absolutely not. Choose one. Pick a lane. And ketchup, by the way, on chicken tenders. I don't have ketchup. I'll do barbecue sauce.
Definitely barbecue sauce.
But ketchup is for fries. Who puts ketchup? I guess young people. Who puts ketchup on chicken tenders? Maybe some do. I do not. Absolutely not.
I've got this really good, it's called Primal Kitchen Ketchup. It has no added sugar in it. Danny turned me on to it. It's delicious. Delicious. And I put it on chicken strips that I make in the air fryer. 100%.
Unless that ketchup has a chipotle flavor, Jay Moore, or if it has that barbecue flavor, then I would consider it. But I'm going right to JR's barbecue sauce or open pit or something else like that.
That's the best.
Wow. I mean, that's what I'm going like. But ranch and ketchup? What am I, child? No shot.
Taylor, I got you. I'm in. I'm all in.
I'm sure you are with her. I personally don't get it. Kevin, go ahead.
Wow.
Dollar tickets tomorrow for the White Sox and the D-backs. Guaranteed rate field. Looking like it's headed toward a sellout for
the big game.
I'm going tomorrow.
Are you serious? They're going to sell it out?
Yeah. Merkin reported yesterday that it was close. Apparently this morning it looks like there are only limited single seats available. So it's going to be a packed house.
Randy Merkin reported that?
Scott Merkin.
No, the better Merkin. Scott Merkin.
The employed Merkin.
Yes.
Damn.
That's not right. Ooh, doctor. Yikes.
That's not what I tried to set you up for.
Randy, I love you.
The middle finger in 3, 2. he loves the emoji middle finger. It's coming.
He's actually working.
So I'm going to be at the game tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Going to be a lot of fun.
Wait a minute, Kevin. Before you just run away with it again.
Okay.
Let's have a conversation. So
sure.
So the you're saying that it's sold out. Did you say that?
I said it's nearing a sellout right now as we speak.
Single seats
they're
available.
They're predicting a sellout. Yeah.
So my God. So do we expect like 38,000 in the house?
Whatever the capacity is. Yeah, what is it, 36, 37 around there?
On a businessman special?
How about that?
Holy bleep.
It was great, too. There were no fees when I bought the tickets either. It was just a straight-up $2. So it's a very great fan appreciation by a very fan-oriented organization.
Okay, well, Kevin, you know you work here. You could easily just go upstairs. Have you been to the 7th floor lately?
Yeah, I went up there this morning, as a matter of fact, to make myself a coffee.
I mean, you're Kevin Zipak now. You don't need to buy those if you don't want. We could always take care of you.
Yeah, but $2. I got to support the team, you know?
You do you?
They got to make a splash in free agency. I'm trying to help Jerry out here.
That 38 grand, man, that's going to bring in a big free agent.
Now, here's what we've got.
The correct council kitty.
Now, hold on a second.
Kevin, Sonny will hook you up, man.
Yeah, exactly. We got people. But, I mean, this will help free agency. 38 grand. See, we raised money. 38 grand. Get ourselves a backup catcher or something with that, right? No, Jerry. It won't? Then why the hell do we do this?
Exactly.
Like, that's not good. All right, what's your question, sir?
Well, the shot or no shot is that in addition to all of the loyal White Sox fans, the park will also be full of Cubs fans rooting for the Sox to benefit the Cubs in their wild card chase.
That's a no.
Not happening?
No, that's a no shot.
You guys playing Thursday?
Yeah, Atlanta, right?
Is that a day game? Just checking. Let me check the schedule. Just checking the schedule.
Thursday's
here.
A 6:20 first pitch for Cubs Braves. So you can make a day of it.
Doubleheader. You go in there, go Sox, go, help us win, and then go to the bar, watch Cubs Atlanta. Good doubleheader. That's a good day.
It is a really good day. I just don't think there'll be a lot of Cubs fans taking up the dollar. Although I do know my friend Larry texted Mindy yesterday, what are you doing on Thursday? And she's got a big
benefits she runs with Mal Mattis this weekend for the Brain Tumor Institute. She's like, I'm working. He's like, oh, I bought six tickets. It cost me $6.
Wow, it's going to be a sellout. That's going to be something. That's great.
Really cool.
That's really awesome. I think that'd be a good doubleheader, though. So the shot or no shot is Kevin?
Shot or no shot that there'll be a lot of
Cubs
fans there.
That it's going to be packed with loyal Cubby Blue supporters.
That's a no shot. Like, if you're going to say the majority of them will be Cub fans, that's a no shot. I think that there will some will be there because it's the day. It's supposed to be a better day weather-wise. That's a shot. That some will be there, but not they're not going to fill up the ballpark. Yeah. There'll be Sox fans there.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Coming up next, we go around the National Football League. Don't forget, it's a Waddle Wednesday. We'll talk to Tommy coming up at 8:35.
Somebody wake him up.
All part of the mix on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time now for Around the NFL. Don't forget, we will hear from Tom Waddle coming up at 8:35 for Waddle Wednesday. But now let's find out what's going on around the NFL. Here's Kevin Zipak.
All righty, gentlemen. Now, there are, of course, four winless teams in the National Football League. Minnesota, Carolina, Denver, and, of course, the Bears. I've been parsing through the power rankings, you know, like you do during the middle of the week. And most of them still have the Bears 32 out of 32, dead last, despite the fact that the Broncos did what they did on Sunday. Very embarrassing in their own right. Are the Bears really that much worse than all of these teams? And do you see them finishing the season with more than Denver, Minnesota, or Carolina, more wins?
You know, it's interesting about that. Who's the worst? Now, from our viewpoint, the Bears are dead last. I've heard so many conversations about who actually is the worst team in the National Football League, and they keep like throwing the Jets out there. And the Jets, by, you know, smoke and mirrors, won that one game in a big spot when Aaron Rodgers went down, Cap. But, you know, still, 0-3 is 0-3. And when all the numbers, offense, defense, when you're 32nd in the league in a lot of those key categories to measure whether or not a team is good or not, the Bears, they check all those boxes. So they should be the worst team in the National Football League, considered the worst team in the NFL.
They look, by the eye test, as the worst team in the National Football League. Justin has been horrifically bad. The defense, worse. The coaching, terrible. They have regressed. The general manager spent a lot of money on fairly quality football players. Mm-hmm. Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, DeMarcus Walker. Like, those are, I'm not telling you they're all pros. They're solid football players. And the defense looks pathetically, comically bad. Let's see what Denver does, because Denver gave up 70. If they look at this as a get-right game and they take care of business, oh, God. You go to 0-4, you lost at home to a team up that gave up 70?
The struggle bowl is real. 0-4. Someone's got to be 0-4 coming out of there Sunday.
Could be a tie.
Could be.
0-0.
You go 0-4, that's when it goes to the toilet.
0-4?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this Broncos team, they look very bad, ripe for the picking, perhaps. And you look at the other teams that the Bears have faced so far. Packers are 2-1. The Chiefs are 2-1. Even the Bucks are 2-1. Any chance that the Bears have maybe just been the victims of a poor schedule here early on?
He says with a laugh. Listen to that. He asks the question and then laughs about it. You hear right. that, Cap?
The chuckle.
You hear that? What are you doing, Z-Pack? No. No.
I'm sorry.
This is what it is. They are what they are, right? The only reason why that some would give the Broncos a benefit of the doubt is that's the better coach on the other sideline. That is Sean Payton, after all. It is. I mean, that's why I look at it. Sean Payton against Eberflus. Which one of these things is not like the other?
Oh, God.
Okay? Seriously.
Wow.
He's just trying to set a culture in there because they were soft Denver last couple of seasons. And it's difficult for some people, including Russell Wilson.
If he still has it, if he's still the coach that we all think he is,
he's won a Super Bowl.
He is.
He always had a tough, well-prepared, physical football team. He's no fun to be around all week.
No.
And they are going to come out fired up.
He's already sniping at the media. You saw that clip, right?
Yes.
He's already pissed off. Chicago, Sean Payton. Yeah, he's pretty pissed off. I guess the guy was like, you know, how embarrassed are you? He said, I already said I was embarrassed in the opening statement. No, but I mean, really, how embarrassed are you? Next question.
We got to play that.
I mean, he was not happy. And rightfully so.
What is he, Ditka?
70-20. What do you of course he's embarrassed. Wasted used to use that line. Oh, I am embarrassed. If it wasn't for those three plays, we could have won the game. What? Here's Kevin Zipak.
Wow.
You guys mentioned the New York Football Jets. High hopes coming into this season, of course, with the acquisition of Aaron Rodgers. He was done after four plays, blew out his Achilles. And Zach Wilson appears to stink. The Jets are 1-2, and free agent Colin Kaepernick sees this. He penned a letter to Jets GM Joe Douglas asking to be signed to the practice squad. Now, he's starting low there. He's not asking to come in, be the starter, even be on the roster. Just give him a shot on the practice squad. When you're applying for a job, of course, you got to have references. He's got some good ones. He's got Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, Chip Kelly, and Raiders owner Mark Davis as references. Any chance we see Colin Kaepernick in a Jets uniform, practice squad, or not?
I would say no shot. He hasn't played since 2016. What is this, the eighth season he's been out? I mean,
come on, Cap. Say it how it is. The man's been blackballed from the NFL.
He has, and he settled his lawsuit. He got his money. If you told me he hadn't played in a year, yeah, I think there's a strong chance. After 7 years, whatever it is, I'll be shocked if they bring him in.
It's okay for him to stand up and say, hey, would you like to give me an opportunity? But Colin Kaepernick has done so many things off the field of play to help people that are going through the struggle, trying to find a job, trying to find clothing and housing. He's been able to be part of that. So I think that he's doing a lot more good away from football than on the football field. I know that's his dream, and it was taken away from him by the owners of the National Football League, but he secured that lawsuit. And he should just go on to being a great citizen. That's what I think, because that's what he's done. I know that it's hard to swallow this whole, you know, blackballing thing in sports today. But you and I have lived through it numerous times. We saw what happened to Craig Hodges. We saw him. I mean, so nobody can use a three-point shooter as prolific as he was. Where's the dashiki at the White House?
Yeah, we don't need.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with him? I mean, he's just expressing his feeling about his, you know, his race and about how he feels about the country and expressing himself. Now we can move on. You know, Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. I mean, that's a whole documentary about him praying in his hands while the Star Spangled Banner is taking place. They told him to go to the locker room. All of a sudden, you didn't see Chris Jackson anymore. It's gone because it was controversial at the time. You remember this, right?
Absolutely.
With the Denver Nuggets?
Yep.
Hell of a player out of LSU.
Correct.
All of a sudden,
I scouted him.
Can't have him, right? Can't have him on the... Why? He's blackballed from the NBA. So we have seen this before. It's not our first time. What I'm saying for Kaepernick, I know that's your dream, but what you're doing helping people means more than me seeing you with a helmet again. For
Correct.
Me.
Agree. 100%.
Kevin Zipak.
So I don't know if you guys heard about this, and this sounds like a horrific phrase to me, but apparently Ben Roethlisberger has a podcast. Were you aware of this?
I was not.
Yeah. I think we were, because he's said something that Shea played for us. We haven't heard about it in a while, I think.
Well, he had Jerome Bettis on the pod recently, apparently, and they have now reopened the Pandora's box of allegations against the New England Patriots. Alleging an incident in the 2004 AFC title game, Bettis said that the Patriots cheated on a pivotal 4th-and-1 there was a hand signal given from the sideline, and Bettis said that that meant the Patriots knew the meaning of the signal. Do they have a legitimate gripe here? Sour grapes? How are we viewing this Patriots dynasty that they had with all of the other BS that's gone along with it?
Yeah, I don't think they have a legitimate gripe. So they gave a hand signal because they knew the play that was coming.
Apparently, yeah.
Unless you tell me that they hacked into somebody's helmet illegally, if they were smart enough to have someone in the stands who's able to chart every play and goes, I know what that formation is, here's the play. Good for them. Too bad, Pittsburgh. Quit stop with the 19 years later revisionist history. Yes. I'm no Belichick guy. He's an amazing football coach. It is what it is.
Well, Kevin, you know, it's interesting you bring this question up because Chris Canty was talking about that this morning, or talking about cheating in football on Unsportsmanlike, the show that comes on before us 5 to 7 with Michelle Smallman, Canty, and Evan Cohen. And, you know, from his standpoint, he's saying if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. It happens across the league, he says. But the Patriots don't cheat well because everyone exposes them. So apparently this is something that always happens. You get someone else's practice. You find out they're all 22. They're able to obtain a lot.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise. So the Patriots cheating, any other team cheating, not a surprise at all. Not a surprise.
It is what it is. By the way, quickly, I know we got a commie coming up.
Yep.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
3126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Summer Ball.
One of the hottest things that Heinz has come out with in years. The yep. ketchup company?
Yep.
Cranch. K-R-A-N-C-H. It is ketchup and ranch dressing mixed together.
No, straight to jail.
And it is for chicken nuggets and french fries.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that to Americas.
Cranch.
Yeah, to Americas. We go now to Tom Waddle right around the corner on Cap and J-Hood.
You're listening to Cap and J-Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at TheCapMan and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Tom Waddle, former wide receiver for the Chicago Bears.
Guy's amazing.
1989 All-Madden team and afternoon co-host on ESPN Chicago.
I think he's going to start at least 8 games in the National Football League next year for a team that's going to give him a chance.
It's Waddle Wednesday with Tom Waddle.
Listen, I got a pedicure in an hour. When I get back here, the wheels better be spinning, all right?
On Cap and J-Hood, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. So glad you're with us. We hope that you're going to have a great Wednesday. Now time for Waddle Wednesday, and Tommy is
on the Car X Tire
and on a hot one.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the Car X man.
Tommy, good morning, my friend. So there's a lot of angst in Bear Nation. You've got a team that gave up 70 in a 70-20 loss, the Broncos. Sean Payton is snapping at the media. I told you I was embarrassed. Next. And now they're going to roll in here as 3.5-point favorites. So if you were on the Broncos playing for a guy like Sean, would you expect he'd have them at a fever pitch or chaos there as well?
First of all, Jonathan Capp, good morning.
Morning.
I thought morning. We were going to talk about the Cubs' collapse last Stop. Night in Atlanta.
No. I didn't watch. I don't want to know what happened.
That is BS. I was it. With you last night for an hour, hour and a half, and you were beaming like a kid on his birthday.
Well, you have your own platform to hear. I can't believe that Cubs collapsed, right? So you got your own show.
My bad.
After the Sox to talk about that.
Yeah, back to yeah, listen, guys. Look, let's just put it this way. Everybody's got a track record, right? Or some track records are longer than others. And the way I would answer that question, Cap, is I feel it's much more likely that Sean Payton will have his guys ready to go after that shellacking than I believe that Matt Eberflus will have his guys ready to go after their shellacking. It's just look at the back of the football cards. I mean, Sean Payton has won. Sean Payton's got a longer, you know, career in this league and has succeeded pretty much much more than he has failed. So my guess is that these guys, if you have any pride, both teams will come out and play better than they did last weekend. But my guess is that Sean Payton probably has a better chance of motivating his guys because he's been there and done that before.
Tommy, would it make a difference for Justin Fields if he played more like he did last year toward the end of the season, in which he was rolling out of the pocket, you know, running for a first down, also being able to survey the scene, rolling out to be able to throw the football down the field? Because to me, what we're seeing here is very similar to what we saw at the beginning of last year. What do you think of that?
Yeah, Jonathan, I think we talked about it last week about how — was that a fine?
It
did
is
I
a fine.
Cough my
yeah,
bet.
Yeah,
my
yeah. $1, okay. Bernie'sBookBank.org.
I will send you a check.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but this is how I would describe it. I think there's no question you see frustration in how he is meeting the media and how he's talking and even how he's carrying himself. There's no confidence there either. So I think it's incumbent on them to try to get him more confident. You saw more designed runs. I think there were a handful. At the end of the day, they had 51 snaps in Kansas City, and he had 11 carries. There were a couple of occasions where they did try to roll him, and then somebody comes and tries to pin the guy on the end of the line of scrimmage and get him out on the edge. And when he is out there, as we've talked, he's more comfortable and he's more accurate for sure. So, yes, the answer to the question is yes, I think it would help him, and I think they need to do that. But as I've told you guys ad nauseum, there's a limit on where that takes you. And it's an artificial ceiling, and you really you don't threaten opposing defenses and defensive coordinators enough when you have to cut the field and you do that stuff. So, like I've suggested, they do that stuff, and they try to get him some confidence, and hopefully that confidence would build over the course of a couple of weeks. And then you go back 3 weeks later, and you reinstall some of the other stuff, because at the end of the day, you're only going to go so far with a quarterback that can only play with half the field. So I think so, Jonathan, that you need to continue to do all of that stuff. But again, at the end of the day, do we want to go back to last year? I mean, we got really excited, and he did some magnificent stuff that we had never seen before. But at the end of the season, we won 3 games, and the passing offense was dead last by a large margin, and they didn't score more than 20 points after week 11 offensively. So I don't want to go back to that offense. What I want to do is I want to integrate some of the stuff that he does really well with his legs, but I also need to see more from him in the passing game, or else you're going to be so one-dimensional. You're an easy game plan.
So as you look at all of the issues ailing this team, I look at DJ Moore. I went home last night, and after I got done doing all my Cubs responsibilities, I popped on the All-22. He just looks like it. I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know if it's frustration. He does not look to me like he is playing all out. Is that a fair critique?
I saw him cap in training camp. I thought he was there, and I still do. I still believe he's their best player. I saw him play with an edge. I saw him play with confidence. I saw him. To me, and again, I've never talked to DJ. I'm not in the building. He's playing frustrated as well, and he's not playing confident. I would love to see DJ Moore play angry right now, play defiantly. I know it's not gone the way that you had hoped, but get out there and you know, just make sure every snap you're dominating the guy across from you. And I think he played, you know, very well in the first 2 games. And then I watched the film also. And I give Kansas City a lot of credit. Everyone talks about their offense. Their defense, they're very fast. They're very athletic. And I think this is the best defense that Spags has had to coordinate. But I agree with you. Like, look, I'm not going to make excuses for him. He should have caught that ball down the sideline. It was a beautiful throw by Justin. And he created space and had the other one-handed catch. But he just, yeah, I'm with you, Cap. I want to see him play with a little bit more kind of anger and defiance in his style. But look, at the end of the day, I'll go to war with him every Sunday. I'm not so sure you're getting the same type of production from other places with regard to whether it's your tight end position or the other wide receivers, but DJ can still play. I hope he gets past this stage of frustration, but I understand why he is frustrated. But you'd think, guys, that, you know, look, nobody copes with frustration more than him in a football uniform because of the quarterback list that he's had in his past, but this one stings a little right now.
It certainly does. As we talk to Tom Waddle from Waddle & Sylvie, Waddle Wednesday on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Now, on the defensive side, I was saying on Monday, Tom, I don't understand the amount of gaps that's out there for this defense. I mean, it really was like practice for Kansas City against the Bears defense because of how wide open those gaps were. It's one thing for the team, Kansas City, to run with a ruthless aggression and a toughness and for those routes to be as crisp as possible because they work with each other for a while. But could you explain to me why it's so wide open between the linebackers and the secondary? I mean, just 15, 20 yards to roam. Why is that happening?
It's such a great point, and it's the thing, you know, listen, it's hard for me to even get these words out. When I say to you that the defense is a bigger issue than the offense was on Sunday, when it was an offense that didn't score a point in the first 30 minutes, but it's true, mm-hmm. and for the reasons you mentioned. I understand the concept of the cover two, but we've had this conversation so much, when you can't get pressure with your front four, you've got to become more creative and you've got to adjust and you've got to do some things differently. The other thing is I just don't know why there's a reluctance to come up and put your hands on receivers. There's too many free releases, and that creates the voids, Jonathan. And if you can't get pressure with your front four, okay, now you got to be creative with your blitz. But let's be physical in the secondary. So at the very least, if you can't get the quarterback off his spot, get your receivers off their spot. Try to make somebody uncomfortable, and you consistently watch the film, and you consistently watch them be way off. And there are so many voids. It's a great point. If you watch the film, the thing that stood out to me the most on either side of the football were just the lanes, the throwing lanes that Patrick Mahomes had. And he doesn't need them because he can throw the ball anywhere he wants to. But to give them free releases and to allow them to kind of just roam through your secondary, I just don't understand what the approach is.
Tommy, can you hang on? We have more questions for you.
Sure.
All right, we'll have more with the great Tom Waddle. We'll continue. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers coming up at 9:35 from Atlanta about the Cubs' collapse against the Braves. We're talking to Tom Waddle on a Waddle Wednesday here on Cap and Jay Hood.
No, I taped the game. I didn't know what happened last night. What are you ruining the ending for me?
You know exactly what happened, pal. You know exactly what happened. I just, you know, Tom, now it's the Denver Broncos, and I was telling Cap earlier, I said, you know, from people I talked to in Denver, it's a culture change, and you know it is. You saw what happened last year with Denver, and now with Sean Payton in there. It's 0-3, but it's not all on Russell Wilson. But I'm wondering your expectations for the Broncos coming in, because when you lose by 50, but yet you're a 3-point favorite, 3.5-point favorite, something's working with Denver probably on Sunday. What do you see?
Yeah, I don't think Russ has been horrible. I mean, I don't think Russ is cooking, but I don't think he's – look, I like the running back, Williams. Yeah, I think he had an ACL last year at some point, but he's a hard runner. I think Russ has got some guys on the edge that he can throw it to. I do believe – there's some players on that roster, so I'm a little surprised that they've been as bad as they have been. But look, they're going to get better over the course of time. I do think that at least in the short run that this marriage can work. It just may take some time. But I don't. I, when I watch Russ, I don't think that he's completely useless. I think he's actually still can do some really good things. I think that something's got to give in this game, right? I mean, you flip it around, the Bears are averaging 250 yards and 15.7 points per game, and the Broncos defense is allowing 458 yards and 41 points per game. I don't think that the Bears are going to hang 70 on him. But if you don't see significant improvement against this defense that gave up, 30-plus to the Commanders the week before, then, we talked about this yesterday. Is this rock bottom after the Chiefs game? I was like, no, because, I felt worse after the Packer game than I did the Chiefs game. If you let, as you described, Jonathan, a Broncos team they got boat raced to the tune of 70-20 come into your building as a 3.5-point favorite and beat you, I would say I would project that would be rock bottom for me in the near term.
So if you look at this game, and let's talk about if that does happen, the scenario you just painted, you're 0-4, You don't do much successfully offensively. I'm not talking about losing 45-41. I'm talking about you have another bad offensive day. There are already people that cover the team that are saying they believe they should bench Justin Fields if this thing doesn't turn quickly like this week. There are analysts on ESPN, Fox, that are saying the same thing. Put the Bajan kid in. It's not working with Justin because you can lose the room. The Jets, Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, said there is a near mutiny that could be coming. The defense does not want one more snap of Zach Wilson out there.
Tommy's been there. Tommy's been there. The
Jets, like the Jets defense, is they've got a leg to stand on. Right. If anyone on the defensive side of the building at Pitalis Hall is putting their foot in the sand.
Oh, I'm not saying they are, but at some point, what do you do with Justin if this week you go out and you score 7 points again?
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I mean, I told you a couple weeks ago, this is a 17-game evaluation. If things just go off a cliff 5 or 6 weeks from now, 7 weeks, 8 weeks from now, maybe so. I'm not there yet. I can't even really contemplate that. In fact, I go back and look at the tape, and I'm not trying to sell you that Justin was good, but in the first half of that game, the interception's inexcusable. Don't get me wrong. I don't know what you're looking at. But, like, he had no one to throw to. I mean, there nobody's open. Like, when you play a team that's going to play man coverage, and you're not trying to help your receivers who are too sticky to begin with. They're not helping them get open. You got to bunch them up. You got to pick. You got to rub. You got to do all kinds of things to try to get them open. And I didn't see a lot of that, which points again to the fact that everyone's got to share culpability for this. But no. I'm not there yet. I know it's, you know, we go from 0 to 100 in both directions, but not for me. Not for me yet. Nope, not there.
So what do you think, Cap? Because I look at this Miami win. And by the way, if you watch that game, the ebb and flow of that in the fourth quarter, McDaniel actually took the gas off.
Yeah.
He actually said, you know, we could have scored 100, but he says, I wasn't trying to embarrass the Broncos, which also is a pat on the head that's really, it's not condescending, but it makes you feel even worse.
Right. That would be worse for me. Oh, great. Thanks. You got 70 and you took your foot off the gas.
I mean, that's really bad. So I expect, Tommy, like a focused, locked-in Broncos team. I'm not saying that they're world beaters, but I'm saying that when you lose by 50, I expect for the Broncos to be a much better football team coming in here on Sunday.
I agree. You've got a Super Bowl-winning coach and a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, and while those accolades or those achievements may be well in the rearview mirror, they're still, you know, there's still experience there. There's still guys that make plays, and I would be shocked if they came in and didn't give a better effort. Like, if you're asking me if, in fact, I believe the Bears will win this game, how can I go there? I can't pick this Bears team to win a game until I actually see them do it. You know, I got to see it first. They've got a better roster than we do. Have they played well? No. Have we played well? No. I have to see our team do something positive before I would feel confident enough for them to win a game on a Sunday.
It is, oh boy, you lose Sunday.
Sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. You lose Sunday. Well, then the wheels have completely come off, and then you look and go, I don't know if we can win a game. I really don't.
Oh, did you?
What you have to do? I think I was part of that crew too. Like I was part
89.
Of the problem. Yeah. Well, I wasn't really playing at that point. I was just getting beaten up by my teammates on the practice squad, so I really wasn't responsible for any of that. But you've got to approach this like, this stuff, this stench stinks to you until you get it off. So if every individual in that locker room, all of your play is on film.
Hey, I hate to interrupt you, but did you tell me that you were coming off the field and Richard Dent, or as you guys were coming on, they were coming off, he would say to you, just don't turn it over. We'll worry about the scoring.
Rich used to say it all the time, and for good reason, because Rich was a Hall of Famer, and our defense kicked everyone's ass. And we would come off the field, or he was coming off the field, and he would look at us as we were running on the field, and Rich would look at us and say, all right, hold him, guys. We'll be back in to take care of him. Like, hold him. We're the offense. What do you mean, hold him?
Don't turn it over.
I mean, like, at some point, they got a little frustrated with our inability to get the ball in the end zone. I would say again, that was an element that existed because we had a faction of our team that actually was very good. If there's anyone up at Hallis Hall pointing fingers, coaches, players on either side of the football, you know what? Cairo Santos is probably the only guy in the buildings who should poo talk anybody right now.
Correct. Could you imagine?
Hey, have a great show with Sylvie.
All right. Take care, fellas. Thanks for having me.
It is Waddle Wednesday here on Cap and Jay Hood. Tom will be with Sylvie after the Diamondbacks and White Sox game, about 4:30 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. In 2 minutes, the Cubs collapse. What happened? We address it next.